the important thing to consider is I keep on learning. And you really have to, especially in an emerging technology.
Yeah, good for you. I'm also a lifelong learner. I appreciate
it. I know you are. Yes, I know you are. You know, increasingly, technology is playing a bigger role in the process of them being hired.
I even saw a statistic that 75% of resumes, this is pre-pandemic, don't even get human attention.
My theme here is that we need to put human back in human resources.
Do you want to be the absolute best candidate for a job you'll love in a career with balance? Veteran leadership career catalyst Jonathan Flax is teaming up with leading executive search professionals to provide you with cutting-edge career transition strategies. Welcome to Career Transition Experts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Flax.
We are so, so lucky today. My good friend for many years, Dawn Druzilla, is with us. For over 25 years, Dawn has been an industry thought leader, a trusted partner with stakeholders, CEOs, and C-level executives. She's worked with board members and senior executives. She's added significant operational and strategic and consultative advice to businesses. She was with Citigroup in the earlier part of her career for 12 years. She was involved with co-founding an impact and socially responsible investment company. In 2007, Dawn launched Gaia Human Capital Consultants, which has become nationally recognized amongst the top five leading retained boutique executive search and talent acquisition and talent management consulting firms, specializing in senior level talent for a high growth technology, impact, sustainability, a lot of work in renewable and clean energy, clean tech. There's so much I can say about you, Dawn. I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the Career Transition Experts.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I'm honored and very flattered to be here as well.
Great. Let's start with anything else that you want people to know about your background, your expertise. There's a lot of components there. What's most going to be most relevant as we're looking to give people kind of really focused advice on nailing their career management, their leadership development, and their career transition?
Oh, thanks for asking. I draw upon my own personal entrepreneurial background and my many years, 25 plus years, as a talent management executive. Okay. I've also co-founded four firms over the course of my career. Mm. My career, as you mentioned, is grounded on Wall Street. I once upon a time was in the pioneering medical waste management field.
Wow.
Back when medical waste was washing up on the Jersey Shore. And from that opportunity, we had an opportunity to create technology to dispose of that. Stepping forward a little bit more, I co-founded, as you referenced, thank you, the socially responsible investment firm, the impact investment firm, and took it for all it was worth. And this is back in the early 2000s. And it's really extraordinary how far we've come in the 20 years since that moment. Of course, thank you. I found Gaia Human Capital Consultants shortly thereafterwards. And there's a fourth firm in there somewhere. And that was my other executive search practice when I was extremely engaged. And I don't say that too lightly, in the investment management, the mutual fund, the investment banking, the broadly defined financial institutions group. Right. So as I think about offering advice, I draw upon, again, my own entrepreneurial and institutional experience personally. Mm. And of course, all of that I've gleaned and learned over the years, working with some of the very best and brightest years ago, those that created the mutual fund industry 2.0. Mm. And today with some of the very highly recognized and smartest executives and investors in the clean tech, those high growth sustainability and impact technology, renewable energy organizations, private equity firms and venture capitalists. And the important thing to consider is I keep on learning, and you really have to, especially in an emerging technology.
Yeah, good for you. I'm also a lifelong learner. I appreciate it.
I know you are. Yes, I know you are.
So let's get right into some nuggets of learning and insights that'll make a difference. Let's start with like the end in mind. Like, what's the most important nugget along the whole career transition process where you have an insight that would make a difference for people who are managing their careers, and particularly the career transition?
Yeah, good question. Great question. Today, more than ever, for a few reasons. One, the pandemic.
Yeah.
The other, technology. And the reliance that companies utilize, that companies deploy, I should say, technology.
Right.
And lean on that technology to help them manage their business. Mm. And I've heard of this especially from an HR talent acquisition perspective. So what I think a lot of your clients, who are very fortunate to work with you, I may add, what I think I could share with them is that increasingly technology is playing a bigger role in the process of them being hired or them being evaluated for any one particular position.
Okay.
And I'm referring really not to clean tech or renewable tech or climate tech. I'm referring to IT.
Okay. So two examples. We certainly have had the ATS systems and people's keywords getting scrubbed. And I even saw a statistic that 75% of resumes, this is pre-pandemic, don't even get human attention.
That's so true.
I imagine you're referencing that, but maybe something more specific or deeper or something else. Tell us more about how does technology impact how someone gets evaluated? How are HR departments using technology in their process?
Yeah, great. You're right. In fact, I'm going to guess that number is even higher, having been a director of talent acquisition on the inside. Mm. Essentially, my theme here is that we need to put human back in human resources. It's so true. Mm. So here are a couple of other ways. Many jobs these days, particularly at kind of a middle level and approaching executive level, are advertised online. There's no secret, LinkedIn, Zoom, Glassdoor, and a whole myriad of different sites that have even gotten very specific in terms of industry specialization. Mm. So you can look at not-for-profit. If you're a not-for-profit executive, you can go look at ideal.org. And if you're an accounting executive, there are, or a financial executive, I should say, or a technology person, et cetera. There are so many segmented marketplaces to find a job. So it kind of starts there.
So there's different unique job boards for different industry specializations or career specializations.
That's right. Now, moving along the pipeline, if you will, and we call it internally or externally as the pipeline, as a candidate is put through the pipeline, you're right, it goes into an applicant tracking system. And that applicant tracking system many times scrubs for words and experience and adjectives and all kinds of stuff. Not to be taken lightly. I'm going to guess that number is probably closer to 85% that you referenced before, 75%. So that is in many ways technology doing the screening where a person would otherwise do that. Let's go a little bit further. Now, if you're fortunate to get invited to an interview, chances are you're going to get a rather generic letter, what we call candidate communications, from someone who pushes a button and says, "Dear Jonathan, thank you for submitting your resume. Here's a lot of stuff about our firm. We'd like to set up a meeting with you." Great. Now, you've got a little bit of a limited amount of time to get back to those people.
Mm.
Interesting. Because if you don't... Well,
what's that limit typically?
Oh, about maybe 48 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I bet when you're competing, especially these days, it could even be 24 or even four business. Like some people are jumping on things, but Well, I hear you. Somewhere between 4 and 48 hours. If people, I really mean to respond to, if a company has seen your resume, they click, yes, I want to see this person. You get an email. You got to jump on that.
And how many times do we get emails from, like, you know, Dawn, and they're all capitalized? Ugh. Or you get some generic thing.
Right.
But every now and then you may get a personal email.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Right.
You'll get a very quick glance as to, by the way, the culture of that organization, their level of professionalism as they respond. So I've had a lot of candidates say to me, I was so unimpressed. There were misspellings in the end. They spell invite wrong, or, you know, or cooperation or whatever. I want to coordinate this. Yeah. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So again, you got to put human back in resources here, if you will, if in fact you're talking to HR. Okay, let's continue through the pipeline. Now you've got to schedule that meeting. What type of meeting is it going to be? So we've got to, again, be ready to be Zoom ready. We've got to be FaceTime ready, whatever the interface is.
Mm.
You got to be, got to look sharp. You got to do your thing. They've got to be equally responsive on their end. You know, last I checked, although I know you are an entertainment industry hobbyist, and I've been in front of a camera a few times, we're probably not too bad at this, although I'll let your viewers decide. But I don't think many people have been trained to really talk in front of the eye of a camera.
Right.
And that, too, is taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Posture, again, technology presenting itself, the way we articulate, the way we sound, the way we express ourselves, and so forth. Now, what's interesting is, let's continue along this line. So we have our first interview. Now, there's a lot to that, and I know you work with a lot of folks as to how to follow up, what to say, the questions to ask, how to present yourself, and so on and so forth. I've got my own really kind of well-polished formula that I've suggested to people.
Okay.
But now, where else does technology take place? Now, on the other side, at the client side, now it's technology trying to coordinate the stakeholders of the firm. And they're distracted running their own organizations. So now technology, again, emails and all the internal things that go on, and sharing information, sharing data, sharing Facebook pages, Facebook pages and LinkedIn pages, and so on and so forth. Again, technology here helping them. Now, at a certain point, if you get further along in the hiring pipeline, we find an assessment test.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, and this, by the way, is a very increasingly growing field, especially and also for executive search firms who have made a lot of money acquiring assessment firms.
Okay.
Years ago, and I've got a whole bunch of books back there on top grading and what makes a great executive. And
right, yeah.
You know something, today a lot of this is done without the human touch.
Mm.
And again, these types of tools to try to be more efficient takes the human element out of it.
Yeah.
And I just find, and I think you might agree with me, that a lot of candidates are very frustrated by the additional steps, these hurdles, if you will.
Yeah.
Where they're saying, let me talk to a human being already. give me my day in court. A great example of this is, you know, you call your credit card company or your bank and, you know, press and you're like, just give me somebody to talk to. Well, you know something? I find this same level of frustration might be very possible in terms of the hiring process.
Yeah.
So where I think I become more relevant is I am that live person who could collect that feedback rather confidentially, who actually has the ear of a live human being on the other side of the phone, where a mature conversation could be put in place in terms of compensation and so on and so forth. References is another whole bailiwick. How many times have I seen situations where we wrote to college, we haven't heard back yet? about whether or not you really have a degree or an advanced degree or an accreditation. Used to be where you pick up the phone, you'd call Cornell University, and they would say, yes, Jonathan Flax is a graduate of Cornell. He's this and that. You know, we're thrilled. Now, today, they don't want to take that call. They got to write a letter. You got to wait 8 to 10 days. And what happens is, again, where technology has meant to bring us faster together, it actually, in many regards, has kind of kept us apart.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think a lot of candidates underestimate, and I'm sorry to dwell on this topic, but I don't think a lot of executives today realize that the process of technology, the utilization of technology in HR, is very prevalent.
Yeah. And yeah, really, really true. Right. And you're establishing a really deep understanding and context on it's really, I think it's valuable. You've elaborated on this, but let's get to some nuggets of tips. How can an executive candidate effectively deal with this in one or two points of tips in that process?
Try very hard to establish a relationship with the hiring people, with the stakeholders that will say yes to bringing you on board.
Mm.
Find a real
world where technology is ramping around, has been ramped up, and most candidates are getting funneled through these pipelines.
Reach out to the hiring people. Reach out to the stakeholders.
Make that phone call. Get that personal connection going.
Absolutely.
Who will stand out when you have that personal connection?
Absolutely.
There's someone in your network. We talk to people a lot about networking. So when you're recommended for a job from one person to another, you've got a tremendous leg up. A lot of my clients have gotten job offers because of that methodology.
That's true.
A large number of them just in the last month.
Hmm. Oh, that's great. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, do what they want. You know, you have no choice, right?
Right.
Especially if it's a very appealing job. But you need to be a couple of steps ahead of the game. Anticipate those technology hurdles. Yeah. However, get in front of real life people through every social media source you possibly can. And here's my advice on how to do it. So important. Add value to their organization.
Okay.
Remember, talent, whether you're a private equity firm or a company or a not-for-profit, and I've worked in enough of these organizations, talent equals value.
Mm-hmm.
When they make decisions on who they're going to hire, they're saying, where are they adding value in my company?
Right.
I don't care what the job is in this day and age. You must have a viable reason to be valued as an employer,
right,
even at a startup firm, as you scale up any organization. So my advice is, as you make those relationships, it's more than just saying, hi, how are you? Oh, it's, thank you for your time. Go two steps behind that. Educate them. Talk about their industry. Talk about something relevant to what you do for a living and how it might actually impact their organization. Open their eyes to something. Give something away, in other words.
Mm, yeah.
That will make you stand out.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, very good. We ask people to eliminate, this is a sort of a new concept I've added to my training, eliminate the words "just checking in."
Right. I like that.
Instead, provide articles.
Check down. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get rid of "just checking in." Every other person can say that. But if you're the one that says, hey, I just found this really interesting statistic, I thought I'd share it with you, or I've been thinking about ways in which we could, in our first 100 days, do some things like this, this, and this, and really make some promises and set some goals, right? Is that the kind of thing you think you're suggesting?
So if you don't have time for that, remember, a lot of people are already employed,
right,
or engaged in life, right? Here's a little secret. Do a quick Google search. Look at their news.
Mm, yep.
Look at their news and congratulate them on whatever it might be. For my clients who might be listening, yeah, that's what I do, right? Congratulations on your recent $300 million capital raise. Mm. Goes a long way.
That's really great, Don. Really great.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask my guests two real quick personal questions and then we'll wrap up. You have a cause that's near and dear to your heart that you'd like to share?
Everything green and animal activism, animal advocacy. I'm sorry.
Okay. The World Wildlife Fund, Educational and Environmental Defense Fund, those kinds of things.
You know, for a long time, I was a national chair, one of the national chairs of the Clean Tech Open.
Okay.
Some people may know I'm involved in politics, which is a great honor. I'm very much a I have my little Penny, my little puppy, of the SPCA here in San Francisco.
Fantastic, fantastic. And as a musician, I like to ask, you have a favorite band, favorite singer, favorite artist?
No, Jonathan, that's a good question.
Hard to pick a favorite, but what's one?
I have had the great honor, you're gonna be envious of this, of not only meeting with, but having a conversation with, and these are my favorite performers. Ready? Burt Bacharach.
Ha! Fabulous.
Jimmy Webb.
Uh-huh.
Tony Bennett.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's and great. Even Frank Sinatra.
That's fantastic.
I'm a big fan of the late 60s, early 70s singer-songwriter days. I love everything, by the way.
Oh, very good. Very good.
But I got to meet Jimmy Webb. And I remember when I was done talking to him, my teeth were chattering. We talked for about half an hour, which was amazing. He wrote Wichita Lineman and By the Time I Get to Phoenix and The Worst That Could Happen and Up, Up and Away and all his Fifth Dimension songs. And I love that music very much.
That's really great. That's really great. I just did a performance at an old age home last week. It was a sunny Friday. It was going to be warm all weekend. I sent a quick email, and the next day I was in their courtyard. They were allowed to go outside, social distancing. Okay. I had a face mask, a face mask, and a little lapel microphone stuck to the inside.
I bet you still sounded great.
You know, Amore and Frank Sinatra, just the way you look tonight, a couple of things.
That's great.
Cat Stevens, Neil Young, that kind of stuff. So
yes, the singer-songwriter era. Yeah. Joni Mitchell, that's right, Laura Nero, yeah.
We'll put in the notes, in the program notes, how people can reach you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your insights about navigating technology in a career transition.
Oh, you're very welcome. Again, my niche, for those who are concerned or interested, I should say, is in that clean tech impact technology space.
Yes. So renewable energy and that kind of thing.
May I offer one more piece of advice that I think is
interesting? Sure, bonus piece. Sure, bonus insights.
I had a reporter ask me years ago as he was interviewing me. He said, "Dawn, I'm a little confused about something. Are you a tree hugger or a capitalist?" And I told him, "I'm both." And I said, "Just call me a tree hugging capitalist."
Yeah.
And he did. But the interesting thing about that is when you get involved in this space, make sure you know why it's important that we're there.
Yeah.
And while you're tempted to talk about the why all the time, about climate change or economic development and job creation and all that, never lose sight of the fact that people are saying, where do you bring value to my bottom line? Because to be a sustainably successful firm, to look at the triple bottom line, to look at doing well and doing good, you need to have a sustainable economy, the green economy.
Yeah.
So I continue to be very optimistic. And I'm particularly optimistic now in terms of the Biden-Harris administration. And maybe someday we could talk more about that. About some of the great promise that exists today, not just in terms of their administration, but for example, six states recently just voted through legislation to now be 100% renewables by a certain date. Six new states.
Wow.
Two other states passed legislation where they're going to have a goal towards that. And by the way, that was Maine and Nevada,
wow,
which is very, very exciting. So, you know, we can do well and do good. And yeah, that's kind of been the theme of my of this second part of my career since I've been in this impact investment, now executive search, talent acquisition, talent management space.
Great, Don. Thank you for that. On behalf of myself and my grandchildren, I thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan.
We'll have grandchildren yet, but you know, this planet is, we're borrowing it from them.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
So again, thank you so much. And
you're very welcome. I wish everyone great success. I truly, truly do.
Thank you.
See you soon. All the best.
Thank you for listening to the Career Transition Experts. Please make sure to listen to our next episode. And if at any time you want a clear view of the entire career transition process and a sense of where your strengths are and where your challenges are to work on, you'll get your free access to my career TPS assessment at careerexcitement.com. That's www.careerexcitement.com. TPS stands for Transition Performance Snapshot. This is Jonathan Flax wishing you outstanding career success and satisfaction in balance. Looking forward. Bye for now.